It is exceptionally good to be back amongst you. Amongst all y'all, for some of you want to say it that way, but I kind of think that's the wrong way to say it. It just should be, hi, it's good to be back with y'all. The last 3 months have been incredible for me. There's a lot that I have to share with you. An incredible a lot. Those of you that have been through the How to Pray book and that series and the videos and have learned from that, I went so much more deeper with prayer with the two books I was working on that I'm going to share with you from time to time and bring to you. That first time of sharing for me is going to be really come to picnic next Sunday. I'm going to take some time to share with you what I've learned over these past 3 months in a very small nutshell, because I don't think you want to be at the picnic until Tuesday. At least that's the way I understand it. There's just so much from all the different places I've been, those folks that I've talked with, new friendships that I have with some folks now. I want to thank Bill for stepping in as interim pastor. Bill and Linda, I've understood in the past week as I've been here talking with folks, an incredible job. And thank you, Bill and Linda, for both of what you did, because I know it takes both. I want to thank the pastor church relations team. I have heard nothing but good news about what you guys did while I was gone. And with that in mind, please come Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock downstairs to the fellowship hall. I want you to remember this. I have not been here for 3 months, so I do not know the journey you've been through. I know the journey I've been through over the past 3 months. I do not know your journey. And as your pastor, I need to hear it. So I'm not preparing to have anything to teach during those times, which I'm going to call now growing in Christ instead of principles of faith. Because we've been through many of the principles of faith and many of the things that we needed to talk about scripture-wise. And now we're going to talk more about growing in Christ. And what does that mean? Please come, because I need to hear your story. My wife will gladly tell you that I am not a mind reader, if you fellows know what I mean. Okay? So I know very, very little about your journey over the past 3 months. Now, I did see my neighbors, Zach and Alyssa and Alec and Clara, and I've seen Auntie Lily. But we haven't talked about what was going on at the church. We've talked about our relationship together as families that live close to one another. So I need what you have been through. I need that help, so that we can discern where is God asking us to step next. I mean, I could come up with a brilliant idea, but I really want to hear what God's been saying to you. That's important. I promise you, I will share what has happened to me through times, because it's going to take that. And I am still, and probably will for the rest of this year at least, I am still processing what I have learned and what God has taught me and what I have been brought through in the last 3 months. Thank you for the gift of that time. I know some of you weren't quite so comfortable about, what do you mean we're going to let him go for 3 months? That was an incredible gift that you gave me, and I appreciate it. And I'm going to share with you what I learned. For those of you that think otherwise, one of the things I'll just share with you right now. I did spend a week at a monastery in the Shenandoah Valley, up around Berryville. If you know where Winchester is on 81, take a right at Winchester for about 20 miles and you'll find this monastery of about 12 or 13 Trappist monks, an order of the Catholic Church. They have a retreat house there that people can come and stay as a guest. They cook all the meals for you. They do all the cleanup. They take care of everything. All I had to do was spend time with God for a whole week. From Monday afternoon at about 4 o'clock, I'd say, to Sunday afternoon when I got home, I don't think I said 75 words. See, the rule in the monasteries, even in the guest house of the monastery, the rule is not silence. As many of you think and you think you've learned about monasteries, the rule is don't speak unless you can improve upon the silence. Wonder how our world would change if everybody had that concept. So when I pause for silence, especially when I ask you a question and I'm pausing for silence, I want to let you know I can pause for a whole week. If you don't like silence, it's time for you to speak up. But I say all that because I need to hear your story. I'll share mine, I promise. Deanne will share hers. We're going to share. It was a time for Deanne and I to grow closer together than we ever had before. And I thank you, if nothing else, for that gift. 13 weeks of not having any pastoral responsibilities gave us a much, much closer relationship. Powerful. All right, I know you don't want to stay till 1 o'clock today, so let's get on with the sermon. How about that? The stories of Jesus. What powerful and wonderful stories about Jesus. What powerful and wonderful things. I've entitled this message, Rich Toward God. And I just want you to hold those three words in your thoughts as I share some simple things about this passage that I've already read. Some very simple things. You see, someone approached Jesus asking for help in settling an estate. They approached Jesus and asked him, "Will you help us to settle an estate?" Seems like a pretty simple thing, right? Some of you maybe have been in the process of settling an estate for somebody in your family. Or you know of someone who has, and it often takes a good deal of time. But this time, someone came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, will you help us to settle this estate?" This is an important question. This is an important question that we should look at also for about our stuff. It's probably amazing what Jesus said to him. Jesus says that an abundance of possessions is not a kingdom concern. An abundance of possessions is not a kingdom concern. He says, "Why'd you choose me?" Well, I can answer that. Well, you're God. And you can help us settle this right in the right and fair and proper way. And Jesus says, not my concern. And not a concern of the kingdom. Whoa. You mean settling an estate is not the concern of a kingdom? of God's kingdom? And then Jesus tells a story. I hope you remember, as we've talked about parables before, that Jesus shares parables to shock people. If you read a parable and you're not shocked by what it says, you probably need to step back from it and go, what's supposed to catch me here? What's supposed to shock me here? What's supposed to unsettle me? Because that's what a proverb is supposed to do. It's supposed to unsettle you so that you go, I don't like that story. Brought about in terms that you know, but it's supposed to unsettle you. And Jesus talks about this wise farmer. He tells a parable about a wise farmer with misguided insight for the future. Now you see, we should travel right into this parable without any problems. Because you see, the farmer had a crop one year, and that crop was so overabundant that he didn't have barns to store it all. And the farmer said, I've got to do something wise. I've got to do something smart here. I've got to put up some new barns. He tore down his old barns. He put up new barns to store this overabundance of crop that he had. Seems like a pretty wise thing, doesn't it? I mean, if we had a great abundance of something, we should do something with it, right? If it's a great abundance of money, we should invest it in some way so that it makes more money. If it's possessions and whatnot, we should use it in such a way that it brings blessings to people and it causes things to grow and to expand and to go on. I have yet, maybe some of you all have found it in Scripture, but I've yet to find a house in Scripture that had a basement. Let alone a house in Scripture that had a basement that was full of things. Ooh, did I get too close? This man put up a new barn to take care of the crop that he had. But here's where he's misguided. He says, I'm going to kick back. And I'm going to sit in the rocking chair the rest of my days because I got more than enough to make it throughout the rest of my life. And God says, you fool. You fool. Because tonight I call for your life. The farmer was misguided. He had a wrong attitude. He basically said, I've stocked everything full. The pantry is full. The refrigerator is full. Every deep freeze I got is full. And I never need to go to the store again or work again. I can coast the rest of my life. Now, I could stop right here and preach a whole sermon about there's no idea in Scripture about retirement. Zero. No idea about retirement at all. I can very easily say retirement is not scriptural. And you see, that's what the farmer wanted to do, didn't he? I got enough. I never need to do anything more. But that's not where I'm going to go with this sermon. Because there's something else that Jesus says that really jumped off the page at me and made me question my life. First off, I hope you realize and I hope you understand that all possessions will eventually become someone else's possessions. Every possession you have, no matter whether you treasure it highly because of its history, because of where it came from and who owned it before you and how it's been passed down to you, it will eventually become somebody else's possession. I mean, you've probably heard people say, I've never seen a U-Haul at the back end of a hearse. Have you? You can't take it with you. The same way you come into this world is the way you'll leave it. With nothing. But now here's the important thing that stood out to me. Jesus adds one more surprise as he finishes this up. An important kingdom issue is being rich toward God. The kingdom of God does not care about your possessions and how many possessions you have and how important they are to you and why you must maintain them and why you must hold on to them and why you must keep them. The kingdom of God wants to know, are you rich toward God? Is your heart where God wants it to be? Is your relationship with God at the deep level that God's desiring for that relationship to be? Are you rich toward God? I'm in the process of evaluating, what do I have? And what needs to go? Is it really that important? Is it something that I should hold on to? And sometimes in holding on to it, I'm keeping somebody else from having what they need. I'm keeping somebody else from having what can help them to get a step in the right direction. I tell young couples that are getting married, you're going to get 3 crock pots, and you're going to get at least 2 or 3 mixers. And you're going to get probably more than silverware than you need. Here's what I tell them to do. Save them. When your friend gets married, there's a gift right there. You don't need to go out and buy one. They need a crock pot, don't they? Now, here's the important thing about these gifts, because I know how this works. At the shower, or as you open these gifts at your wedding, you take the card and you stick it inside the box so that you remember who to write a thank you note to for that particular item. Before you gift it, please make sure you take that card out. Deanne and I got a gift from a friend of hers that we loved. Absolutely fantastic. We loved it. It was the best thing. And we opened it up. It was a clock for the mantle. We loved it. I love clocks. We opened it up, and there was a card from her wedding and who it came from. It didn't offend me. Not at all. But folks, I'm in the process of thinking about some of my possessions. Do I really need to hold on to them? Now, there's one I know I've got to hold on to because my 2 sons are fighting over it. And someday I'll tell you the whole story about it. I have a very wonderful chamber pot that was my grandfather's, with gold leaf on it and a gold emblem from the hotel that he picked it up from. I don't know too many people nowadays that need a chamber pot, so I guess it's okay for me to hold on to that one. What do you think? Might need it. Ask me sometime. I'll tell you the whole story about my grandfather and his chamber pot. That was his most prized possession from World War II. But folks, are you rich toward God? Are you one of those people that got a full basement, but a shallow relationship with God? Are you one of those people that are looking on how to save things up for the future? Or do you have a deep relationship with God? Are you trusting God to take care of your future? Or are you trying to figure out how you're going to maintain all your possessions? Because you might need them someday. I'm here to tell you one day God's going to call you home. And somebody else will get all those possessions. And some of those things that you treasure the most will be thrown away by somebody else. Because they don't treasure them. Are you rich toward God? My last 3 months has given me a chance to really search out that question deeply. And I've learned I'm not as rich toward God as I should be. And I'm going to make some changes in how I do things. Because I'm not as rich toward God as I thought I was. And I came to understand God loves me tremendously in spite of who I am. And God says, I love you, Tim, tremendously. It's time to set some things aside and deepen that relationship with God. What about you? I've spent 3 months really searching that. Learned some things I need to let go of. Some things I don't need to do anymore. Learned there are some possessions in my house that need to disappear. Because my relationship with God is more important than anything else. And if I'm not working on my relationship with God, and I'm not becoming richer toward God, then I'm not living my life right. And I'm asking you to think about that. I'm asking you to think about that too. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you sometimes just fumbling. Sometimes we come to you and say we want so much more. And in a simple question like, are you rich towards God? Lord, that quickens our hearts to know that we're not as rich as we should be. Sometimes so many other things have taken first place other than you, God. And the truth is, God, you put us in first place. You said, I love you so much that I can't handle a broken relationship with you. And you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we could be rich toward you. And yet, Lord, we run about so many places in life trying to be rich towards everything else. And we count that as gain when we do. But in one way, it's like gathering up extra manna every day. And when the people got up the next morning, the extra that they gathered so they didn't have to work today rotted overnight. And Lord, we've done the same things with our lives. We've gained up all kinds of extra without being rich towards you. Please, change our hearts that we might only seek to be rich toward you from here on out in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.